Well, hello, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week. In the house. Not in the house. If you're not in the house, you're missing out the House of Mouse. I'm just kidding. I said that for Disney coming up. We got folks going, having some fun there. We're so thankful you're here wherever you are. Say hello to somebody. Now say hello to nobody, whoever that was. I'm just kidding. Why is everybody waving at me? That's messed up. So wherever we are right now, wherever you are, we're thankful you're gathered with us. We are wrapping up our series called Angels. Hopefully each and every one of us have got to learn something new in our series, have got to, if there's anything I would say when it comes to Sundays, my hope and prayer is Sundays is always an overflow of what's happened throughout the week. It's a praise and an expectation of what's about to happen in the coming week, but also it's something that just scratches the surface of what the Lord has for you. And I hope and pray as we go throughout the week that if we go into series like this and questions we aren't afraid to answer, that it would just drive you in your walk with Christ to dig deeper in it each and every week. And so I'm thankful for that. Speaking of digging deeper every week, I'm thankful for all of our Vine Kids parents. Thank you all for having fun with our kids, having them in worship. I know sometimes that can be seem like it's hard, but I thank you for that because they can see you worshiping, even if it's running after them, and I'm very sorry. So soon enough, I just want to say, with my health issues, once I'm under the laughing gas, y'all may have to wrangle me in like the kids. So that's why I get excited with it. So wherever you are right now, we've been in angels. We started about talking about the hierarchy of angels, kind of a little more on that here in a moment. We talked about demons last week. Which was kind of fun, Satan, realistically. And so this week, we're just going to be reminded what angels are. And once again, as we said every Sunday, I hope that it's just a scratching of the surface, if you will. It's just the tip of the iceberg, that the questions that the Holy Spirit gives you during this time is something you will dive deeper in and lean into the Lord. Don't trust what I say. Trust what the Holy Spirit says. Go to the Word of God and see what it has. So today, we're going to wrap up our series with Do You See What I See? Now, we get excited because it's almost Christmas time, and I know you're hearing that. You're hearing Little Drummer Boy as this happens. No. Anyway, we're going to get excited for this. Do you see what I see? We're going to talk about angels today. It's going to be fun. And what we've talked all the way through is that angels are among us. We've talked all the way last week. We talked about angels having our wings held. We talked about that all the way through a little bit last week. And so today, do you see what I see? The question I have for us as we talk about that is, how many of us have ever... This should be 100% hands raised, all right? Both hands, if this has happened to you, you've had a sense of deja vu. If you're holding a baby, don't do both hands. I get that. But both, right? So guess what? You raised your hands in church. We can do that during worship. Let's have fun with that all the way through. I'm excited. I don't always get to do it either, but that was me preaching to myself. I don't do that well. So all the way through, let's make sure that we do that. But that being said, we have a sense of deja vu. Like, I've been there before. And I don't know, before we dive deeper into angels when it comes like this, I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want it to be deja vu. I want to say, I've seen this. I didn't have to wait. Like, there are some things I can't fathom, I can't imagine, but I want to say I've seen heaven on earth right now. I don't want to get there and be like, I don't know what road to take or what off-ramp to take. I've seen this before by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we get to have, and we get to share that. So this deja vu that we're talking about today when it comes to angels, I pray and hope that as we are Jesus's light, that we see heaven on earth now, and we not only see it, we share it. That's what we're going to see as we dive into this today. So the anchor verse we've kind of been around is in Hebrews, but if you want to get in your Bible, I promise we're going to flip a little bit. If you want to get to your Bible, the place we're really going to start out, go ahead and get to 1 Kings. We're going to hear from two of my favorites. We're going to see Elijah and Elisha today. And I promise you from 1 Kings, you'll keep flipping right. But we're going to start in Hebrews. So if you're with me, give me an amen. I hear amens. Okay, Hebrews 1:14, just a reminder where we've been all the way through. Hebrews 1:14 tells us about angels. It says, the writer of Hebrews says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So once again, the angels, God uses his angels to minister to us who are Christ's children. All right, so we get angels who are technically of a higher order than us, humble themselves just as Christ did to serve us so that at the resurrection in the end, when we're all resurrected in heaven, we are actually in Christ above angels. Don't get excited. So if you're not power tripping on earth, be humble. You get to be talking about some angels all the way through. But more on that, I want to share with you about an angel And hopefully I'll get to share some laughs with the angels. So all the way through, angels are ministering spirits. Once again, reminder, angels cannot be redeemed. They are either perpetually in a fallen state with Satan in hell, or they're in heaven forever. That doesn't say that angels are going to multiply, so the amount of angels that God created in the beginning are the amount of angels that are here. And that doesn't mean you need to go count them on the head of a needle and all that stuff. I'm not laying into that. I'm saying the beauty of the gospel is God made a way for us to be redeemed. If we have nothing else to celebrate today, that's celebration enough. So Hebrews 13:2 tells us this as we talk about, do you see what I see? Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. That's something that blows my mind. So when we are the light, when we are the hands and feet of Jesus, we actually could be entertaining angels. How crazy is that? If you read in the New Testament, it also talks about how angels, we walked through this on our Bible Devo a little bit, how angels long to see what we see. They long to be a part of redemption. They long to be a part of lost souls coming to Christ. They long to do that. Like right now, as we are in this house, there are angels leaning in to see and be a part of what we are like. How crazy is that? That's awesome. And if you're an angel among us, we're going to have the Alabama tune a little later. It's good. See, you got to have some humor. I hope, listen, there's going to be humor in heaven. I hope you know that, because that's the only way the Holy Spirit speaks to my hard head sometimes, is laughing at me saying, I told you you're going to trip up. I told you. All the way through, Hebrews 13:2 reminds us that. So think of that. We may be serving angels, and this is why this matters. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about separating sheep from goats. And he says, what you did for the least of these, you did also for me. So think about that. The least of these could be an angel you're going to see forever and eternity. So when you splashed them with the water, you went by them and said, you're just going to spend the money on alcohol and drugs, you're just going to do that. It could be an angel you're going to see forever and eternity. So just remember that. So make sure that we do to the least of these what Christ has done for us. So we're going to go ahead and get to 1 Kings. We got one more thing. I'm going to remind us of what angels are all the way through. But if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to 1 Kings. If you're not there yet, we say it each and every week, Revive Production Team, make sure that it is wherever you're watching around the world. It's going to be on the screen in the house or below me. You also can follow along with us on the Vine Church app. And if you would like a free Bible, we would love to give you one. Don't worry, we don't autograph the front of them or anything like that. We don't believe in that here in the church. All we're going to do is write your name on it, because we want you to be able to take it home. But more importantly, we want you to be able to open it up and read it. So 1 Kings 19 is where we're going to be. Familiar story. 1 Kings 19, this guy named Elijah, Prophet Elijah, is gone. He's been on Mount Carmel. It's Mount Carmel, but Carmel, as some of us call it. And God has just rained down fire. He has shown his awesome presence. The prophets of Baal have gone and said that they believed that Baal would answer before God would. Elijah builds an altar. God does this awesome thing. All the prophets of Baal are killed. And Jezebel says to Elijah, I will kill you today just like you killed the prophets of Baal. And so what he ends up doing is he runs. See, it's how we roll. That Jezebel. We're in the South. You can say it right now. The Jezebel, she goes and she says she's going to kill Elijah. So Elijah runs afraid. That's where we're going to pick up this story and see where angels come in. Before we get there, really quick, sorry, my bad. The first thing we have to be reminded of is angels attend to. So they attend to us. If you're taking notes, few points. I know I don't always do points, but I'm adding them in here today just so we can be reminded. Attend to or minister to. Let's see how that plays out in Elijah's life. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. This is beautiful here. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. So how crazy awesome is that this angel ministers to Elijah, but if I'm honest with you, and maybe you're here right now, all of us are going to come to a point in our life where we're at the end of ourselves, just like Elijah was, where honestly, this is a prophet. He has just seen the presence of God lap up this sacrifice, like seen God move incredibly, and in the next moment, he said, God, kill me. I don't want to live anymore. And maybe you've been in that season, maybe you won't. What that means is Elijah's at the end of himself. Maybe you're not, I'm not saying that all of us will be suicidal. I'm not saying anything like that. If you've ever dealt with that, trust me, it's not something that is fun, obviously, but it's also not something that's uncommon. What it means is Elijah's at the end of himself. He's saying, God, I can't do this anymore. And if you've ever followed Jesus, I promise you, you're going to get to this point. Maybe you're at this point right now. And the hope is, I want to tell you, Jesus is still alive. The tomb is still empty. He still sits on the throne. And the beautiful thing is, we're not walking through it alone, just like Elijah. Instead of giving up, God was trying to show Elijah where his true strength was. It lies in God. It lies in Christ and Christ alone. And even in the midst of that, it would have been really easy for God to be like, fine, I'm done with you. But instead, he sends an angel to feed him. An angel to help him be ministered to be attended to be lifted up. As a matter of fact, I love what's here over hot coals. If you read Isaiah, when Isaiah says, woe is to me, when he sees the glimpse of the angel in the presence of God, he thinks, I'm going to die. And what does the angel put on his lips? A hot coal. Think about that. We talked about what the seraphim and cherubim were. They were snakes around fire. They were, like, had snaky heads. I've already punched you in the throat. I've already told y'all. Y'all start doing that here. You will literally have hands laid on you, and you'll be thrown in the pool, and it won't be baptism. I'm sorry. It'll be that. So I just want to let you know, I don't do that mess. I don't go dancing around with it. So all that to say, though, remember, the seraphim are above the throne of God, and they're described as looking like fiery serpents. So there's fire, and there's fire underneath the throne of God where the cherubim are beside the throne of God. So think about this, hot coals. What if that coal was from heaven? It just says that he was in the wilderness. It didn't say Elijah made a fire. It didn't say anything. It was a coal. They made bread over hot coals. And once again, how this points to Jesus, I love it. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the living water. So Elijah needed the bread of life and living water before he goes on a journey. And we see this journey as well with Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah goes, it's crazy. So know that the angels are attending to you. And you may not even know it. That smile someone gives you at the store when you're having a bad day, that person that says you can go in front of me in the line at the checkout, that person who doesn't cut you off on the way to and from, that person who says, hey, I want to buy your meal, that person that says, hey, I just want you to know you're awesome. That could be an angel. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Know that God is going to do that. So here's a question as we go there. Will we get to the end of ourself and trust God that he will provide, or will we get to the end of ourself and say we've had enough? See, the end of yourself says you've had enough, but when you see, Elijah could have just stopped, but the angel kept saying, I'm not going to let you quit. There's still more that God wants you to do. And if you're at that point that you're the end of yourself, you're ready to give up, if you're still breathing, God's not done, there's still more for you to do. And the angel is there with you, and God is there with you saying, don't give up. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. So after the angels attend to or minister to, we see also really quickly, Matthew 4, what Jesus did. It says, if you read the Matthew version, the Luke version says it a little different, but it talks about angels. Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah's story here. After that, he's tempted by Satan, and then the angels minister to / attend to him, if you ever, depends on what version of the Bible you read. So the first thing the angels do is attend to us. The second thing they do to us is they protect, not in their own protection. They carry out God's protection over us. And to look and read over this, we're going to flip to the right a little bit. You're going to see 2 Kings 6. My dude Elisha, very, very common when you hear about angels. Very, very story that you will hear often when it comes to angels. 2 Kings 6, verse 15 to 18. So Elisha is Elijah's protege, if you will. He's the one who carries the mantle after Elijah. And we see what ends up happening. Very, very cool here. Very, very awesome what happens here. So 2 Kings 6, verse 15 through 18. Let's see how the angels protect us And it's God's protection. They carry out God's protection. I want to make that clear. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots surrounded the city. "Oh, no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "They don't have toilet paper, and they're out of paper towel." Oh, that isn't what they said. They were surrounded, so they were under siege in the city. So imagine that. If you woke up this morning, and your house was completely surrounded by, like, an army, what would you do? Like, before we get mad at this servant, I literally would be upset, too. I would just be like, okay, did you get the wrong address? Nobody's home. I would start speaking a different language. I don't know. It'd be something crazy. So he sees this and he goes to Elisha and he's like, dude, what are we going to do? This army is seeking to kill you and they're in front of us. Verse 16, this is what Elisha says. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, I don't know about you. I've talked about Ezekiel smoking some crazy stuff. If I'm the servant of God, I would just... I'm looking. I'm like, there's more of us than them. Do we got drones or something? Like, what's going on? Like, I will be looking around. And he's like, all right, Elisha, maybe you didn't sleep good. Maybe there was something in them brownies you ate. I don't know, but, like, there's more of them than us. So I don't see what's going on. So let's see what happens. Verse 17. Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. How crazy awesome that. If you ever want to see prayer answered for someone you prayed for and prayer answered for you. He said, "I want him to be stricken with blindness." What's really crazy awesome, if you read that, once again, Sunday's a challenge. Read this story this week. Elisha leads them into Samaria blind, and then he tells God to open their eyes. Like, he leads them to the prison, basically. And what ends up happening is the king says, "Do we kill him?" And Elisha says, "No, you serve him." That's what we get to do. We get to serve everybody. Like, this is what I love. We get to go, the people who are blinded by sin, blinded by Satan, we get to lead into the house of the Lord, and we get to serve them. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Anyway, the angels protected them. The angels protected them. So here's the thing that runs into us many times. We don't have a light problem. We have a sight problem. I have a sight problem. I can't see well, but I just said that. I changed my glasses if I was a servant with Elisha. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Like, we don't have a light problem. And this is why I say we don't have a light problem. What good is light to a blind man? You can turn a lamp on all day long. A blind man still can't see it. Those who are blind in their sin, we are the light of Jesus, and we reflect him, and we trust the Holy Spirit. But more importantly than being his light, our sight must be faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith. So Elisha's servant is stuck in his circumstance. His sight is what's in front of him. Elisha says, God, open his eyes so that he can see not what's in front of him, but you more clearly. And when he does that, he sees all of these angels. And so for each and every one of us, the challenge today is that. Do we believe that? Will we have eyes of the servant that just sees a circumstance? Maybe it is there's no toilet paper in the store. Maybe it is there's no baby formula. Maybe it is the job is going away. Maybe it is the bank account is getting drained. Maybe it is everything going on around us. And my prayer for all of us is just like Elisha said, open your eyes to the Lord working. Would you look at the Lord and see what he has out there and see what he is doing? Because I would move. There's not a better time than this for the church to be the church and us to go out in the world and share his light, because everything that everyone has put their faith in is crashing down except the kingdom of God that is being built up. And so to share this with you when it comes to protection, I'm going to do my best. I've been telling you all the way through, there are two books I'd highly recommend. This is probably a weekend read. Depends on how fast you read. Maybe a week read. There's a book by Billy Graham's book. He revised it in the late 70s. Dr. David Jeremiah has a book, and it's conveniently titled Angels. Or if you misspelled it multiple times like I have, Angles. instead of angels, because it doesn't autocorrect that. How dare they? So, all the way through, if you read, I want to read an excerpt from page 255. If you do happen to get this book, they do have it on Kindle. I like the physical copy from Amazon. I think it was like 12 bucks. And if you can't afford one, let me know. I'll be happy to buy you one. For real, for real. It's a great book. So let me read you these two stories about the protection of God in this. So we're going to have story time. I don't have pictures. I'm sorry. I'm not that cool. But we're going to have story time wherever we go. So here we go. The first story about an angel's protection is this. It was a tragic night in a Chinese city. Bandits had surrounded the mission compound, sheltering hundreds of women and children. On the previous night, the missionary, Miss Monson, had been put to bed with a bad attack of malaria. And now the tempter harassed her with questions, the tempter being Satan, harassed her with questions. What will you do when the looters come here? When firing begins on this compound, what about those promises you have been trusting? In his book, 1,000 New Illustrations, Al Bryant records the result. Miss Monson prayed, Lord, I have been teaching these young people all these years that thy promises are true, and if they fail now, my mouth shall be forever closed. I must go home. She is praying Elijah's prayer. God, take me home if you aren't going to move. Like I'm at the end of myself. Throughout the next night, she was up ministering to frightened refugees, encouraging them to pray and trust God to deliver them. Though fearful things happened all around them, the bandits left the mission compound untouched. In the morning, people from different neighborhoods and families asked Miss Monsoon, who were those four people, three sitting and one standing, quietly watching from the top of your house all night long? When she told them that no one had been on the housetop, they refused to believe her, saying, we saw them with our own eyes. She told them that God still sent angels to guard his children in their hour of danger. Think about that. She didn't even know they were there. And they were up top. God's angels were up there. Everyone saw it but her. Look at this. Billy Graham goes on and he shares a personal account of meeting some Korean War veterans. It's the last story, I promise you, on this. So hang in there with me. And this is on page 256 if you read the book. When I was visiting American troops during the Korean War, I was told of a small group of American Marines in the 1st Division who had been trapped up north. So they were trapped in North Korea. With a thermometer at 20 degrees below zero, they were close to freezing to death. They had nothing to eat for 6 days. Surrender to the enemy seemed their only hope of survival. But one of the men, a Christian, pointed out certain verses of Scripture and taught his comrades to sing a song of praise to God. Following this, they heard a crashing noise and turned to see a wild boar rushing toward them. As they tried to jump out of his way, he suddenly stopped in his tracks. One of the soldiers raised his rifle to shoot, but before he could fire, the boar inexplicably toppled over. They rushed up to kill him, only to find that he was already dead. That night, they feasted on meat and began to regain their strength. The next morning, just as the sun rose, they heard another noise. Their fear that an enemy patrol had discovered them suddenly vanished as they found themselves face to face with a South Korean who could speak English. He said, I will show you out. He led them through the forest and mountains to safety behind their own lines. When they looked up to thank him, they found he had disappeared. Crazy, crazy stuff. Crazy, awesome stuff. Protection. Like, they pointed to Jesus. What I love about both of those stories is, Miss Monson ministered during her time of need. Instead of her biting her nails, she said, I'm going to serve the people and point to Jesus. And if I go home, I go home. It is what it is. Well, look at these Korean soldiers. They didn't have a choice. They were like, instead of freezing to death, Lord, we want to give you the glory, and we know that you can provide. Will you provide? And they go, and poor Pumbaa went down right in front of them. Right in front of them. Didn't even have to kill it. Doesn't that bring you back to Abraham and the sacrifice? How the ram just shows up out of nowhere, stuck in a thicket. They eat, and this angel comes. So then the angel disappears. So the angels attend to and minister to us, as we see. They help carry out God's protection. The third thing they do is they proclaim. They proclaim. They proclaim the word of God. So let's get to Matthew 28, familiar story, the resurrection story. Here, let's look and see how the angels proclaim the word of God. If you got your Bible, keep flipping right. It's going to take you a second. You're going to get to the book of Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 1 through 10 says this, how angels proclaim the word of God. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Really quick, this was a millstone. I know you hear this all the time at Easter, but what's so important for this is this stone was really, really heavy, and it probably was in a divot. It would take multiple men to unroll it and roll it back. But an angel, so it tells you angels are strong. They work out, you know, like they have the strength. They're strong. Just rolls it and sits on it. Like just, yeah, wasn't nothing but a thing. Whoo, you know, boop, just sits on it, sitting on top, ready to go. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Then go quickly and tell his disciples, "He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." I love how this angel ends. "Now I have told you." So like in the end, I did my job. Now it's up to you. Now what I love about this, we're going to see the story of this. I love this story of both of the Marys going there and how Jesus redeems all of us in it. Is they were probably still skeptical, as many of us would be. Like, okay, the angel said it was going to happen, but I'm just not sure. But look what Jesus does for us. This is why I'm glad we live on this side of the resurrection. Verse 8. "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They ran to tell his disciples." We saw this angel. We're going to figure out what happens. But on the way, look what happens. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So sometimes the angel can minister to us. Sometimes the angel can help lift us up, attend us, can carry out God's protection, can proclaim God's word. But what I love is Jesus doesn't stop at that. He doesn't say, "I'm just going to send my messengers out there." He shows up in the midst of it and tells them to go and tell the world. I love this. This is us, guys. This is what it's all about. Mary and Mary didn't just hold on to this hope that they had. They shared it. They shared it. Once this come and see happened, they shared the good news with everyone. And so, being in this, I've shared with you some stories of Billy Graham. I'm going to share with you about an angel. It's all right. Let me make sure that there's no handcuffs or no cops or y'all going to, no straitjacket, so y'all carry me out. If you do, it's all right. Let me tell you, I have met for sure the same angel three times. I'm only going to tell you about one. I want to tell you, it couldn't be anything else. I want to tell you the story, and hopefully I'll get through it. God's faithful through it. Been through some tough times, but I'm going to tell you the funny time because you know that's how I roll. So I know it was an angel. I knew after the fact. It's the same person. And if you ever say that heaven isn't going to be diverse, this angel was a black angel. So go figure. I'm freckled. They come together. I'm going to have a nice tan one day. But all the way through, this angel comes to me, so I will tell you, here's what happened. We had just started a 6 p.m. service at New Spring, all right? I was living in Greenville at the time. The Marriott was doing renovations. I don't know where we were with that, but they were doing renovations inside their ballroom, so I can say that as much as they charged, they should have. Anyway, we won't open that wound. They were doing that, and in that, you know, anytime you have construction, what's the one thing you have around any parking lots, around any roads? I always tell realtors this with new construction. Gonna pick up nails. Nails seem to find their way down into anything. So it had been raining that day. We load out. I'm going home. Somewhere I pick up a nail. I drive on 85 in the rain. I get to my apartment in Greenville. Pull in my parking space. The rain stops, but the ground's wet, and I hear a hiss. You hear a hiss when you get out of the car. It's not a snake. I'm just saying, you know, you just have that instant, oh gosh, I ran over something. My tire is going flat. Well, I had to be at work the next morning. I don't know what to do. It's 10 o'clock, all right? It's late. I've got home. I'm like, I can't deal with this in the morning. It may be raining. At least the rain stopped. I'm going to be wet. I'm going to be nasty. So I'm going to change my tire right here. Go under, have the scissor jacks, if you know what I'm talking about. The Jeep had this, found, went there, get it all up. You know, start to get the tire off and realize I didn't get the spare out. Come on, y'all know me. That's normally going to happen. So I didn't get the spare out. And when I go, I get the spare, I drop the spare tire down, and all of a sudden someone walks up. Don't know where they come from, and they just say, "Hey, remember to put your flat tire underneath your back bumper." Now listen, that's how my granddad taught me to change tires. Maybe you've never changed a spare tire. I've done it many times, and that's always the first thing I would do, and I didn't that night. I don't know if it was just tired. I don't know what it was. So I stick the tire under the bumper, and literally within 10 seconds, the jack falls, and my Jeep falls onto that tire. And we both laugh, like just laugh. I was like, dude, if you would have came like 2 minutes later, I would be stuck under this car. Like there's no doubt about it, or there would be no way that I could get it. Like just absolute, just, I'm talking out of nowhere, he comes up and the jack falls and we laugh. And he said, well, since I'm here, let me help you finish this up. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. So we start talking. He asked me where I'm from, what I do, and I will tell you, I felt like we talked for hours. We talked about justification by faith. We talked about edification in the church of God. We talked about sanctification by the Spirit and how we are going to be fully glorified in Christ Jesus in heaven. He said, what do you think heaven's going to be like? We talked about everything. It just seemed like we talked about everything. My heart is, I feel like I'm on the road to Emmaus. Like it is burning. And we talk, we get done. Get the tire on, get the tire thrown in the back of the Jeep because I'm going to discount the next day. Hey, you know, they change that tire for you. Go upstairs. Before I do, I was like, hey, can I give you anything? You want something to drink? Can I pay you anything? Can I do anything? He's like, no, I got to be on my way. I don't think about it. I'm like, okay. Now, I've never met this person. I've lived in this apartment almost 6 years. I've never met this person. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Go on then, that's fine. I mean, fine, you know, just fine then. I'm trying to give you something. Fine, move on. I go upstairs and I get in the shower and it hits me. I've seen this person before. And I remember when he came to me in like one of the worst parts of my life. And I'm just weeping at God's faithfulness. I'm like, think of this. Of all of the things God could be doing, and maybe this is where you are right now, of all the things God could have been doing that night, of all the things that could have happened, of everything he could have sent his angel out to do, he knew that that jack was going to fall, and I was going to be there, and he was going to reveal himself through it, and this angel shows up, and he helps me change it. Now, you say, well, nah, that was just a guy on the street. I will tell you, I know I've met that person twice in Elijah state in my life, in a state of Elijah, and I didn't know it every time I met him. I didn't know it till after the fact. I didn't know it in the moment, and the crazy thing is that's the time that I met him there, I remember the conversation. That's the first time, like, I can fully say, dude, we have some church outside. Here's the crazy thing. It felt like hours. I got out of the shower at 10:45. It was nuts. I have no clue how. And if you know me, it ain't going to take me like 15 minutes to change a spare tire. There's going to be some thinking about it, some looking at it. There's going to be something that goes wrong. That's just how I roll. But this angel was there. And I share that story with you not to confirm that I'm crazy, because we already know that, but to share with you, I know angels are real. I know that God sends them. I know they're here. I've experienced it. Maybe you've experienced it. I don't know. Inside the church, we don't share those stories because we think it's crazy. It's one of those crazy things we think don't happen. But if you look back over your life, I'm telling you, an angel has been in it somewhere, some way, somehow. And it's not the worship of angels that's important. It's the one who employs the angels that's important. It's Christ behind it. And I want you to know today that He wants you to be able to see him more fully. Because here's the thing. Yes, angels will attend to you and they will minister to you. They will carry out God's protection in your life. They will proclaim the word of God, as I got to do, changing that spare tire. If you know, the reason I will say on a side note, if you think that that's not important, you're like, you're a dude, you can change a spare tire, ask me to release your parking brake and I will pull the hood latch. That is just my knowledge of cars. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not that much. It's not that great. Yet God in his providence did that. But here's the most important thing angels do. Are you ready? They rejoice in salvation. They rejoice in salvation. Think of this. Like, yes, that angel changed that tire and he was excited. The only reason that I could fully experience that angel, 100%, I will tell you, the angel I had wasn't Della Reese. I said that earlier. It wasn't that touched by an angel. It was literally, I can tell you, I know I have seen this person. I can't wait to see him in eternity. I can't wait to spend that time. And him saying, hey, I thought about just waiting about 10 more seconds, because you still had a little leeway just to see what would happen. But he did, like, I can't wait for that. Like, angels are real, but the most important thing they do, Jesus talks about this, is they rejoice in salvation. If you're struggling with who Jesus is, if you have a friend who is, or you're in this moment of Elijah where you say, God, I've had enough, read Luke 15. Luke 15 is all about the lost coming home. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You know I'm a John guy. John 15 all the way. That's how I'll roll. I'll quote you John 1 all day long. But Luke 15 has some awesome stories about the lost coming home. It starts out with the lost sheep being found. How he leaves the 99 and comes and gets the one and brings it back into the fold. The second story is about the parable of the lost coin. How this woman loses her silver coin, turns her house upside down, does everything. The Roomba doesn't have it. The kid don't have it. They can't find it. And the garbage disposal, she can't find it anywhere until all of a sudden she finds it. And instead of her saying, yes, I can go to the store to buy something for myself, she tells her friends and they throw a party and they rejoice. And it ends with the prodigal son coming home. It ends with a father welcoming his son back home. Read Luke 15 if you ever get struggling to see how God doesn't quit with what was lost not being found. He rejoices in it. But Jesus tells them this story in Luke 15:10. If you're there and you read it, he talks about angels. And when I say angels rejoice in salvation, he says this. He says, in the same way, I tell you. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. One. Think about this. Like, okay, college football and NFL is going on. Football is going on. For us, it's football. If you're not a sports person, I'm sorry, but football is going on. Just think about that, how loud the crowd is. How cool is it that we get to be a part of just angels going nuts every time somebody is, like, imagine you're in that. This is where I'm thankful I'm not an angel, praise Jesus, and I won't become one. He's going to redeem this body because by God's grace, those angels just clapping like I would be at Glock. They ain't stopped since Jesus has been resurrected. Think about that. And we get to be a part of it. So if you ever think that what you do don't matter, if you ever think that nobody's cheering you on, just know there's an angel leaning in right now saying, hey, you don't know what's about to happen. You don't know what's coming on yet. We about to, y'all get ready. Y'all got the kazoos ready? We're going to get it. Like, they're getting everybody ready. They're getting excited. They rejoice in salvation. It's the most important thing they do. And how do they get to be a part of that? Because Christ, Him crucified and risen again, and we not saving that hope for ourselves, but instead sharing it with a weary world searching for it. So when it comes to do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Jesus says, come and see. Come and see what this is all about. Wherever you are right now, I just want to tell you, maybe you have your hope in something other than Christ. Maybe your hope is in what the stock market does tomorrow. Good luck with that. Maybe your hope is in what the job offer is. Maybe your hope is in the gas tank being filled. Maybe your hope is that when you swipe the debit or the credit card that it works at the grocery store. Maybe your hope is in the next place you're going. Maybe your hope is in the growth of your family. Your hope is in a college degree. Your hope is in anything but the Lord. And Jesus says, let me show you the better way. Come and see. If there's anything that we do, that is why we do what we do each and every week. And I would challenge you to say, if that's you and you struggle with Jesus being who he says he is, I can't wait to dive into our series next week, What Does the Bible Say About? But one of the question that comes up every time is, how could God be real if evil exists? And I want to answer this here at the end really quickly. The evil that exists is the sin that's in the world. And justice, real justice, not fake justice, not agenda-driven justice, justice demands that the book of life be balanced. In other words, Hitler gets his just due because death wasn't his just due on this side of eternity. That thing, that person who did that to you, that what they get on this side of eternity isn't it. But here's the thing, what we deserve on this side of eternity and for eternity isn't given to us, that our just due is not given to us because of Christ Jesus. And so wherever you are right now, would you stop focusing on that person? Would you stop focusing on that evil? And would you instead look to see what God did for you in spite of your evil, in spite of where you have fallen short, in spite of where I've fallen short? He sent his son for us. And because of that, many will get to celebrate, including angels in heaven, when those confess and repent Christ is Lord. So know that one day, fully all will be made right. But by God's grace and mercy, those that deserve death and the wrath of God won't have to experience it that are in Christ Jesus, because he's already accepted it fully for us. So today, wherever you are, the reason we do what we do is so that those would come to know Christ for the first time, and those who are in Christ would be like Elijah, strengthened in the faith, would be like Elisha, would have eyes to see God at work all around them, would be like Mary and Martha and all of those who went to the tomb and the disciples who came to see what Jesus was about, and Jesus shows up and says, I'm here. I am who I say I am. Would you trust me? But not only trust me, go share me with the ends of the earth. And so right now, if you've considered anything else being your salvation, I want you to consider Jesus. Right now, it's not my words that's saving you. Right now, you're feeling something knocking on the door of your heart, and that's the Holy Spirit. Would you open the door to him? We're going to say a prayer out loud right now. It's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith and the surrender. It is the confessing and repenting of your sins, trusting that Jesus lived that perfect sinless life we couldn't live, paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, and loved us enough not to stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could experience heaven on earth now. That's what this prayer is about. That's the faith. That's the eyes of faith this is. So we pray as a family out loud for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's say this prayer out loud. Please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. With every head bow and every eye closed online and in the house, I'm going to ask if for the first time you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have believed that he is who he says he is, I'm going to count to three and ask you to boldly raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. For the first time you've done that, if you're listening throughout the week, you can leave us a comment. You could put raised hands comments. You could shoot us an email at hello@thevine.tv. We would love to celebrate this decision with you as the angels are rejoicing in heaven, but also get you connected with a local church where you are so that you can take next steps and grow in the Lord. And for the rest of us, you can look up. We say it every week, but I really do. It's a challenge to myself. Would we take this moment, lean into the Lord, lean into the presence of the Lord and say, hey, if it's the last time I got to be in the presence of the Lord on this side of eternity, I'm going to dance better than David did when that Ark of the Covenant went in there. And ain't nobody seen nothing yet, because I'm just going to be stretching and warming up for how I'm going to be in his presence for eternity. Let's stand and sing.
Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn, don't deserve it. Do you give yourself away? Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh,
Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Bow down before
like Elijah sir. Sorry. We are so thankful that you hung out with us today. It's an honor and a privilege. We'd love to see your smiling face next week, or even see your smiling face online. Look, see how it's contagious? You just, anytime you diffuse a situation, just It works. I promise you. Psychological thing. In the name of the Lord. We love to see your smiling face here next week. We got a seat for you, a splash of diabetes in the back, and we would love, love, love to see Jesus work in and through you. Always remember, the best is still yet to come.